Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
And it is the day we've been waiting for. Who will be on the pole? Who will be the 33 cars we've got out there? Will we see a bump tomorrow? Will we see 230? So many questions. And guess what? We have the answers for you today. We've got a great show planned for you today. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, your fearless leader and host for the next 60 minutes. I'm going to be guiding you in and out of every turn at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Going to be breaking down some NBA talk as well. We're going to be joined by Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, our partner in crime every Saturday morning. Helps us break down and digest all the racing action across the board. Although today, our primary focus is the Indianapolis 500 2013. At the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So Cliff Tanner will be joining us just here momentarily. At the bottom of the hour, 9:30, Kurt Cavan, Indianapolis star, going to be joining us and talking with us about this year's pole day as well as the 2013 running of the Indianapolis 500. We've got a brand new segment starting at 10 o'clock called Meet Your Makers, and we're going to get in more into detail about that, but I will tell you one thing, it's kind of a unique little segment that we've put together, and we're going to talk more about that at the top of the hour. 10:15, Mr. Rich Nye, WTHR NBC Sports, is going to be joining us, again, talking about the pole day in 2013, and 10:30, Jim Johnson, freelance sports writer for the state of Indiana, writes for everything from a lot of different newspapers as well as the Associated Press. Going to be breaking down the NBA Finals and the Indiana Pacers. So if you're joining us, you better hang on, better buckle up. It's about to get fast right here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's pole day. The gates are open. The tracks are dry. We had a little bit of a monsoon yesterday. Wow. I actually had to call off some of the late track activities. We do have a qualifying order, and we had a crash this week. So we're going to get into all of that when we get back right here on the Balance Radio Network. You stay right there.
Son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Tired of hearing the same old racing shows? Why listen to the same boring results with mundane robotic ticks?
Try Speed Talk. We're not your father's racing show.
We cover all racing with an edge.
Join the menage a trois of opinions, both crazy and legit.
Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com to Balance and other local affiliates.
We cover national and local racing venues.
We include great interviews and occasionally throw in some history lessons.
That is Do You Know, Kenny.
Speed Talk, where entertainment is always a guarantee.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. Do you have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianMay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pit, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update, brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianMay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh. All right, my minions, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network, all over the state of Indiana, all over this great nation of ours. You guys have stumbled across the number one sports talk show online in our various different affiliate radio station. As always, it's my pleasure to welcome the guys from Radio Speed Talk. And today joining us is Mr. Cliff Tanner. Cliff, it's happy pole day to you, sir.
Oh, my God, man. Back to you, my friend. Sitting here doing some show prep, checking things out. Man, it's going to be an exciting day today. Be interesting to see what kind of speeds we get out there today, if they can get it in before the rain comes.
Absolutely. One of the things we're going to talk about with you and Kirk Cavan and other guests today, we're going to talk about just some of the things that create that speed and if we can actually hit 230. Well, I wanted to certainly start the show. Maybe not. This is kind of a negative way to start the show off. Not my intention, but we've just got to fit everything in. I wanted to get this conversation over with. And a lot of young race fans, not in our generation, may not remember a race car driver by the name of Dick Trickle. I guess a lot of people had fun mocking it, and anchors on various different sports shows certainly made him famous by mentioning him regularly during the network's auto racing reports back in the 90s. If that playful teasing ever overshadowed what he accomplished as a short track racer, and obviously you're one of our short track experts, you and Kenny both, in the Midwest, he also was a mentor of some of NASCAR's best. And you look at Dick Trickle, two different people, and as we know, Dick Trickle took his own life here recently, and there were reports that Sheriff's Department got a 911 call, gave him a location, said you're going to find a body there, and that body is mine, and the phone went dead from that point. So Dick Trickle, one side of Dick Trickle, maybe you want to call him a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Well, a great racer, great mentor, did a lot of great things for the sport, but on the other side, he kind of lived his life. Maybe you could make this comparison. He lived his life like that of a racetrack driver, going very fast and doing whatever they could do to win. So he had a greater than life persona, if you will. Maybe at some point in his life, thought, hey, this is a permanent thing for me. And he really was kind of a party guy, a womanizer, a drinker, a smoker, a boozer, all of those things. But on the other side of it, he was certainly made a huge impact in the racing community. So if you will, take a few minutes, talk with us about Dick Trickle, who he was, and really more than anything, let's talk about his legacy as a race car driver, knowing that overshadowing that is a lot of his lifestyle.
Well, he was never – he was in NASCAR for many years, and Nationwide, he ran in there. He never got any wins in NASCAR, but he did get Rookie of the Year in 1989. I mean, this is a guy that took a dream, and a lot of people don't realize when he was 8 years old, he actually fell out of a rafter and broke his hip. And they actually didn't think he would ever walk again, but 3 years later, he started walking. He was actually in a cast for 3 years. And he came through, and he went to his first race when he was about – I think 14 years old, and he got hooked. And the guy is just an amazing guy. I mean, he fits the mantra of what everybody in the world visions a race car driver as. You're a crazy guy going at top speeds, and then you party like crazy afterwards. And he gave off that persona. And, yeah, he was known as the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But here's a man they say has the most feature wins of all history of NASCAR, of racing in general, especially short tracks. He actually had over 500 feature wins, which is pretty amazing if you think about that. And they, in 1972, he actually had 67 feature wins. Could you imagine that? But yeah, he mentored a lot of guys. He came out of Wisconsin, and he was just a guy that loved to live life, and he liked to have fun. And he was all serious when he got on the track. But man, it's sad that it ends that way. But you can't do nothing but praise the man for what he's done over the years in racing.
Right, absolutely, and we just look at some of the, there's some pictures that have been going on around line where he actually drilled a hole in his helmet to smoke a cigarette during caution laps. And Jeff Bodine talks about well, there was never a day where he didn't have a cigarette lighter in his car, and there's just various different recounts of various different NASCAR drivers where I guess there's a story that floats around back. After one of the races, he was unhappy with one of his mechanics or somebody, and he just basically went up and grabbed him by the throat and said, if murder wasn't illegal, you'd be dead now. And just all kinds of little things like that Dick Trickle was known for. But we do look at all the great impacts that he had made in racing, and his family released a statement through a funeral home on Friday, and here's part of it. Said he'd been suffering for some time with severe chronic pain. I had seen many doctors, none of which could find the source of pain. His family, as well as those who knew him well, find his death very hard to accept. Though we will hurt from his losing for some time, he's no longer suffering, and we take time and we take comfort knowing that he's with a very special angel at this point. That's from a press release through Dick Trickle's family. And obviously, NASCAR drivers and crew members prepare for the annual Sprint All-Star Race tonight at Charlotte, and I'm sure Trickle will be on the minds of many there.
Oh, he definitely is. I mean, Carl Edwards actually paid a homage to him and put Dick Trickle on the nameplate on his car. So, I mean, he's touched many, many lives. And yet, like I said, you hear some stories about the guy and some of the things that he's done, on his bad side. But, you can't really concentrate on something like that when the guy was just so much influence to so many short track drivers, and the man knew how to drive a car. And, he taught some kids along the way, and he'll always be special in the hearts. And it just, again, it's tragic that it ended that way. But, being in chronic pain, Tom, I don't know if I can handle that all through life either. As I get in my age, I'm feeling some pain. I can't imagine, feeling it all. But bottom line is, the man needs, it's a tribute to a man that loved the race. And it was his blood, period. And there ain't too many of those guys left really around this country anymore, and it's a shame to see that it happened. But I just love watching the guy. I mean, it was exciting, and yes, he did and was the only NASCAR driver to get permission to smoke during caution and stuff. So he actually had his own cigarette lighter installed in the car, if you can believe that.
Right.
So.
Well, Jimmy Fitting, Carl Edwards' crew chief now, talks about how he knew Dick for a long, long time, back from his home state of Wisconsin. And like I said, is now the crew chief of Carl Edwards. Said Trickle during his pole-winning performance Friday, we're talking about Trickle, I'm sorry, during an interview about the pole-winning performance. He said, "I used to race against him in Upper Wisconsin, Finning said, and Dick was a racer's racer. So Finning, who won a cup title with Kurt Busch back in 2004, was Trickle's crew chief when he was a rookie, when he was the rookie of the year back when they called it the Winston Cup in 1989. So, like you said, mentored a lot of people, and Finning being one of those people who was very much involved in his life.
Yeah, he was the type of guy that, you can go back to Talladega Nights, if you ain't first, you're last, and that's the kind of attitude he took. He loved to win, and he got upset when he didn't. That's just a racer's life, and that's what he loved to do. And again, I remember watching him several times, even on short tracks around here, and he was just an amazing guy, man. I don't care what anybody says about the guy. He's just awesome, and it's sad to see him go.
Absolutely. Well, we got to shift gears, and we'll be remembering Dick Trickle, certainly one of the greatest stock car racers, short track racers in our generation. And it is sad when you see people who seem to have so much talent, have so much going for them, and yet on the other side of the fence. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have to talk about his wild and crazy lifestyle. We laugh about it. We joke about some of the things he done, but when we look at about it in today's society of racing, that kind of lifestyle would never, ever be accepted these days. So it just kind of goes to show you where we've come. And like you said, he's one of the good old boys. He's from the old school, obviously, and there's something to be said for that. Unfortunately, his life took a tragic end in the form of suicide. Well, we've got to move on to the topic at hand. It's pole day out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Yesterday was Fast Friday. Here's what some of the drivers had to say. Simona and Joseph Newgarden and a few others.
Well, it's a very fun day today to be running with very little downforce. It's Fast Friday, and we knew we had a pretty fast car, and that we've been showing all week long that the progress that we've been doing day by day has been a positive one. And today we were able to throw all those improvements in the car and trim it a little bit. I went out for a lap, and car was very competitive, very good. I think as a team, we're going to have a good shot on looking for pole position tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be trimming it even more, and I'm looking forward to that. Today, unfortunately, it's raining, and we needed to cut the day sooner. But, well, it's been the same for everyone, so we are suffering as hard. Yes, as a grid, we are so tight, so close, and it's so competitive that every little bit counts so much. Tomorrow, we're going to need a little bit of luck when we're qualifying to get the right cloud on top of us to have the win in the position that we will need it. And having all those factors aligned, I believe that we can have a very good lap and fight for pole position.
Yeah, they are. You know, I think we've been pretty strong on the Chevy side. Everybody has been looking pretty fast. But, you know, it was kind of the same last year, too. You know, the Hondas weren't as quick during the week, and then during the race they really turned it up. But I think the biggest thing is just being focused on our program. And for sure Chevrolet has been working really hard to be where we are today. And and I think we're going to be pretty strong in the race, too. Yeah, I think so. We've had so far a really good week. You know, we were good in race trim, and today we just did a little bit of running and then qualifying trim and kind of took it step by step, and we were pretty quick, so I'm pretty happy about it. And, you know, you never know until you go out there and qualify, so we'll go out there and do the best we can that first outing, and hopefully it'll be enough to be in those fast nine. Well, usually when it rains, you know, like we've had the whole week, it was nice, so there was a lot of rubber on the track, so it was felt pretty grippy, you know, nice little groove out there. Now with the rain, it's maybe going to be a little bit slicker, but I don't think so, you know, we'll all have to see. And if it is a little bit different, everybody's going to have to deal with it, so we just have to go out there and do our job.
Well, we're fine, actually, at Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing. We're not too affected by the rain. We got everything we needed to do done before it even showed up. So when we rolled back, it was about to rain, and that's when we were done. We weren't going to go back in out anyways. We kind of predicted that the rain was rolling in. I think a lot of people did. So for us, it's not a big deal. We've had a lot of practice all week long. We haven't had any disturbances from weather yet, so I think we were able to step through our program earlier in the week, and we're going to be good to go. Hopefully it doesn't rain tomorrow, so we should be just fine. I think it'll probably be good to have some rain. It'll take some of the rubber away. Last year, we had no rain for the entire couple weeks that we were here, and that basically just added tons and tons of rubber on the track. It almost made it a little bit slippery, I think, on race day because you had all that rubber built up. And for us now, I think it'll be great to get some of that cleaned off and maybe start fresh again. And for us, it's not going to affect us at all. I think it'll be almost better to get some of it washed away. Yeah, the Chevys look strong. I think the Hondas will be great on race day regardless. We were so strong last year, and I think we've been strong in practice, and we'll be strong on race day for sure. Tomorrow it's hard to tell. It really is. It's just difficult to tell how we're going to do in qualifying. But the good thing is qualifying's not the whole thing here. It's really about the race. So qualifying's great. If you can qualify on the pole or up towards the front, it's good bragging rights. But once the month's over, you really look at how you did in the race, and that's the big performance that you want to have, and I think Honda will be great in that. So tomorrow is going to be difficult to tell. I don't know where we're going to be sitting at, but hopefully we can get in that fast nine. If we're up there, I think we'll be happy.
All right. A little bit of talking to the drivers on Fast Friday. Unfortunately, got rained out at the very end. It turned into a monsoon, Cliff. So you listen to some of these drivers talk about the cars, talk about the setup. Any thoughts, anything that you look at of what's happened this week in practice? We'll be joined by Kurt Cavan from the Indianapolis Star here in just a moment. And I do want to let everybody know that we're going to be running a little bit late on our break. We'll probably hit our break sometime around the quarter till mark. So just an FYI on that. So, Cliff. Fast Friday yesterday, always a fun day out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Always a good opportunity for drivers, really, to get on the track and just see how much speed their car really has.
Well, you know, when it comes to this weekend, it's pretty awesome watching what they're getting their speeds and stuff up to. But I have to agree, you know, having that rain washed a lot of rubber out there. You know, keep in mind last year, those drivers in those cars probably thought it was 2,000 degrees because, you know, we were in the 90s. With high humidity, you know, for last weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It sounds to me like we're going to see, you know, Chevy is going to be very strong when it comes to qualifying. You know, they get 40 more horsepower for this weekend, so it makes them faster, which I never did understand that, but that's a whole other show. But I don't know. As always, Andretti, you know, according to all the experts, is a favorite to do. But I think don't be surprised if we don't see a dark horse come out of somewhere and get the pole for this thing.
Well, absolutely. And just kind of give a real quick recap of what happened this week. Obviously, Sunday we saw the speed charts get up a little bit to 219 was the fast lap on Sunday. And then Monday fast lap, 222.069. And then on Tuesday, 222.093. And on Wednesday, 221.153. Yesterday, we saw the fast lap of 223.995. I'm sorry, 227.237. That was Thursdays. I'm getting all my days mixed up, dude. This Indian May, that all the days run together. But one thing for sure, Andretti has dominated the fast speed. And we look at between Hinchcliffe and we look at obviously Marco Andretti has just been a force to contend with. It would be pretty cool to see an Andretti in victory lane again. Now, I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. We've got cars out on the track right now, fastest so far this morning anyway, that are out there right now. Will Power at 229.808. I tell you what, we look at the combination, if you will, and there's a competition not only between drivers and teammates, but there's a competition between engine manufacturers. And I tell you what, Hondas are going very fast today. I don't know if weather is an issue with that, but certainly Chevy's still at the top. You look at that Chevy-Honda competition, there's a competition within a competition this year at the Indianapolis 500.
Well, Honda's got a lot to prove after Chevy came out last year and started dominating the races a little bit. But, you know, the thing is, Chevy has historically been better for qualifying when it comes to that. But you want to get down to, right down to it and race conditions and go on a 500-mile race. And that Honda is always strong. They've been very consistent with their motors. Very seldom do you see one blow up. So, you know, pole day to me anymore isn't really as important as it used to be, if that makes sense. You know, being at the front, obviously you're going to stay out of some trouble. But, you know, when you get into endurance races, especially when you get on, you know, long runs, the Honda is going to be tough to be reckoned with. So, yeah, it's going to be a very, very tough competition, and I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen with all this.
Right. We're standing by for Kurt Cavan, and we've only got him for just a very short amount of time. And Kurt Cavan with the Indianapolis Star obviously has his own show with Kevin Lee and a lot of things that he does on the national aspect. But he promised us 10 minutes, so we're going to continue to talk here. But when he jumps on, I will have to just go right to Kurt because – you know how it is, man. When you get those big salaries, everybody's asking for your attention. Right now, it's just us, brother. It's just us. Yep. You know, some of the things that happened also this week on some other notes. Buddy Lazier back on the track. Good to see him back on the track. He took some practice laps, some system checks And he has completed the refresher course. So according to IndyCar and IMS, you're good to go, buddy. Get out there and qualify. So Buddy Lazier back on the track. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's good. It's, you know, I always love to see a guy come back, you know, that had some good history at Indianapolis. It's always good to have a name that's been around come back. It's always a feel-good story. And, you know, he knows how to win and he knows how to race. If he gets some good equipment, you know, the Indy 500 is just so full of uncertainties anymore. You know, I mean, we've seen so many crazy things happen the last couple of years. I mean, Sato tried to pass Brancini and gets wiped out. J.R. Hildebrand 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess it's been, or whatever it's been, you know, had to race one and he couldn't pass a lap car. So you just never know. But, yeah, I'd love to see guys like that, you know, come back and get in here. So hopefully he qualifies well and does well.
Right, absolutely. And now we look real quickly on another sidebar while we're standing by for Kurt Cavan to join us here. I know Michelle's trying to get him on the line now. But we look at some of the other storylines. Ed Carpenter with two different cars. We got 33 entries. Ed Carpenter having it, possibly, we don't know yet, having that other car. But aren't we getting down to the wire where we have to know, or wouldn't we know today, or is this going to end up with 33 cars?
I think we're going to end up with 33 cars because it's getting close. You know, I don't know, and I'll be honest, I don't know what the refresher course is to get somebody in that's been in before, that has been there a while. But I got a feeling we're going to see 33 cars. If it's 34, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. But I want to give kudos to Ed Carpenter because, you know, here he is, an Indianapolis boy, and he had to pass a slap on first day of practice. So, you know, that guy could be a force to be reckoned with. But as we talked about last week, you know, he's got to get out of that mindset of owner/driver, and he's got to take some chances to do it. But, you know, he could be a force. But I don't think he's going to be able to get the second car. It's pushing the limit.
So we certainly will get into these conversations a little bit more depth, as much conversation as we can in 10 minutes. But in radio, 10 minutes is a long time, my friend. Will we see a traditional poll, meaning, okay, normal conservative speeds, or do you think we'll see a poll with a high speed? Or – I mean, obviously, we've got different issues with weather and stuff. All of those are factors. But look at what you've seen in practice. Would you say I'm going to extract a guy like Marco, for example? We'll just use him for conversation purposes because he's been at the top of the speed charts. Well, it's easy to say he could get the pole. But what about guys that are very, very competitive? And we look at Joseph Newgarden and really Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing has certainly found a diamond in the rough with Joseph Newgarden through the Indy Lights Series and through the developmental leagues. How competitive he is, and obviously right here, a local team, if you will, could we see a guy on the pole like Joseph Newgarden? Or do you think we'll see maybe the usual suspects right up there? And as it looks now, if you were to just go by. But there again, we look at that rookie, Carlos Munoz, of Andretti again. So if you were to get a good feel of who you think might be sitting on the pole at the end of the day, knowing that we may have some weather issues, so the pole may come earlier than later. Well, in all reality, I guess it comes right away, but you know what I mean. At the end of the day, anybody you think that might stand out to you as being our pole setter this year?
Well, you know, that's hard to say because if you were in Vegas and putting down odds, your safe bet's going to be somebody in the Andretti field or, you know, some of your normal suspects. You know, Anthony, Munoz kid has been phenomenal. As a matter of fact, he's turned the fastest lap, I believe, of the entire thing. I think, like I said earlier, I think we may see somebody outside the normal.
Hey, Clip, I hate to interrupt you. We do have Kurt Cavan on the line with us from the Indianapolis Star. Kurt, welcome back to The Balance. Welcome. It's Indianapolis pole day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway again. Kurt, thanks for joining us. How you doing, sir?
We're doing well. A couple guys over 229, so we're rolling along.
We're rolling right along. Kurt, we really appreciate you taking time to join us. I know you're extremely busy out there at the track, and with us also is Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk is joining us as well. Kurt, we look at what we've seen in practice. We were just talking a little bit about that before you came on the area here, but are we going to see a speed of 230 this year? I mean, we were getting awful close yesterday.
Well, I think we still might see it in the next half hour, but there's really, I guess I would say the conditions are perfect outside for that, but I would be very surprised if a single car can run 230 in qualifying. Now, maybe he gets to 28, high 28, maybe low 29s, but I guess I will be shocked if he gets to 230.
Cliff, go ahead. I'll let you throw a question in there to Kurt, too.
Well, it's traditional that the big boys always pretty much get the pole. Who is your pick for dark horse possibly get the pole this year?
Well, I would not have put any of the Hondas in the group to win the pole, but all of a sudden today, Dixon and Joseph Newgarden are running up in that bracket, up in the 28s. So I guess if you're really going to go with a dark horse, it would have to be a Honda. Because all the Chevys, I think you can expect them to run, you know, near the front. I really had eight of the nine positions when I was picking them, eight of the nine positions for the shootout being Chevrolet. So I guess it'll be a real surprise if one of the Andretti's that's named Viso or Carlos Munoz wins the pole. That would be a shocker, but they've been very fast all week. I really think it comes down to Castroneves, Power, Allmendinger, Hinchcliffe, and Marco Andretti. So those five would be the ones I'd lean toward, and anything outside of that will be a surprise.
We're talking with Kurt Kavanaugh of the Indianapolis Star. Hey, Kurt, a question for you real quick. We've heard a lot of talk this year, and maybe it's just fresh on my mind. Maybe it's top of the mind thinking. Maybe this is something normal. But if you could help us understand a little, especially to a lot of fans who maybe are novice fans, who are just Indy 500 fans, maybe not IndyCar fans, when we talk about some qualification speeds, if we look at the speeds in practice, and we start beginning to talk about in the toe, without the toe, can you talk with us a little bit and help kind of just, for lack of better words, dumb it down for us what in the toe is and how that works?
Well, basically what happens is you've got all these race cars going around in circles, and if you were to fill a bowl full of water and you start spinning you take your finger and stick in the bowl and start spinning it around in circles, what happens is that water starts to move on its own. And the same thing happens with air. As you circle around the track, the number of times that you do, you start to get a swirling effect with the air on the track. And where you see this best is on race day. If let's say a hot dog wrapper ends up on the track or in the playing surface, it will almost naturally follow the cars because of the circular effect of the breeze. So what that means is when a car is out there, you naturally have this circulation of air. Plus, when one car is following another car, the lead car is creating a hole in the air, very much like the draft in NASCAR that people have more of a sense for. When one car is pushing the air and dividing it, then the other car can slide behind it and really pick up speed because it's not facing the air resistance that you would if you were in the lead. And maybe another example that's kind of easy to understand is when you're in your passenger car going down the highway, the windshield is taking the first brunt of the air. And so you in the passenger seat really don't have that resistance, but stick your hand out the window and all of a sudden you're hitting that air on your own. So what happens is the trailing car, in this case, we call it in the toe, like you're towing your boat down the road, the tow or the draft really helps the trailing car pick up speed. And so typically what we'll see is cars going faster because they are either A, not fighting the wind themselves, or B, they are getting that air pull as it goes around in circles. The ultimate factor is that when qualifying starts, it's one car at a time. So the car on the track has to do all the work without any assistance from either the air pull or the resistance, they have that resistance. So cars tend to slow down by themselves.
Kirk Cavanaugh, what an excellent explanation of that, giving us some Racing 101 there. Real quickly here, now I'm looking at who's out there right now, and so far not seeing any Andretti cars out there right now. May, of course, certainly see what they've done this week in practice. Maybe they feel like they just want to hang tight until qualification begins at 11 o'clock. But is there a reason why Andretti cars are not practicing this morning?
I think we said it all along, they're ready to go. And they have been ready probably for several days. They obviously did their last-minute adjustments on Thursday and Friday. But, you know, this is a team that, that really has looked like it had all five cars pulling in the right direction early in the week. And we've noted that. And so I think they looked at this morning's practice session and said, well, one, we're not going to qualify in groups the way we've been practicing. And two, There's usually a lot of silliness going on in the last hour or so of practice before qualifying, and I don't mean silly driving really, but I'm talking about teams and cars and drivers trying to extend their speed beyond what they've practiced all week. So what you have is kind of more of an opportunity for something kind of to go wrong, and I don't think the Andretti's felt like they were going to gain that much from being out there. So they kept the cars in the barn, and they'll roll out the horses when it's time to start your engines.
Well, we're joined now by Kirk Cavanaugh of the Indianapolis Star. Kurt, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your very busy schedule to join us. Also, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, our normal partner in crime here on our radio segment of the racing segment of our show this morning. Cliff, go ahead. Any more questions for Kurt before we got to let him go?
Yeah, real quick, like, how important is it to get to pole nowadays with what we've seen in the past, and it gets competitive over 500 miles? How important is the pole at the end?
It's very, it doesn't have a lot of impact as far as race day is concerned. Yes, you had the first kind of clear look at turn one, and you don't have the trouble in the back of the pack with cars trying to jockey for position. So it is important in terms of the start and being able to kind of get away cleanly. But realistically, the benefit is that for the next week, people can talk about your sponsors and talk about your driver and talk about your team as the fastest at Indianapolis. And that is something that is worth more than $100,000 that is given to the pole winner, and really can be used as a springboard to gaining respect and building a reputation and adding more sponsors as we move down the line. So it really is more of a public relations benefit and something that the driver can put on the resume. You know, an Alex Tagliani or a Ryan Briscoe, no matter how many races they win in their career, can always say they were the fastest man at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 2011 or 2012 when they did that.
We're talking with Kurt Cavan. Kurt, we appreciate you taking some time to join us. Michelle told me that I've got to keep you to 10 minutes, so I'm a man of my word. We'll keep you to 10 minutes. Any final thoughts of today's poll day of something that we haven't asked you, that we haven't talked about, that you want to share real quickly with us?
Just that we're going to try to qualify 24 cars today and 9 more tomorrow, and this is easily the most difficult and challenging thing a driver does is qualify in Indianapolis. So we'll watch and watch the athletes perform and the teams with them and see who comes out best man or woman on top.
Where can people find your work and your masterpieces at, Kurt?
IndyStar.com.
Kurt, I really appreciate it, and we'll see you out there at the track today, and you have a good weekend, and you're always welcome here on The Balance at any time, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Kurt Cavan of the Indianapolis Star, obviously very well known on the national circuit. Obviously, articles with USA Today and various other articles that he writes. He's actually one of the he's based here in Indianapolis. Indianapolis Star. We say he's with the Indianapolis Star, but really he's with various many other outlets, and he actually, along with Kevin Lee, travels the circuit with IndyCar, and he's at every race. So he certainly is a good insight, Cliff, to bring on board with us, especially on poll day. But when he says 10 minutes, you got to give him 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man, the dude is very knowledgeable, and And I like his approach because he don't BS. He just tells it like it is, and that was pretty cool. I'll be explaining, you know, how the force works with the car and stuff like that, because I've never really understood that, but I understand it a lot better. So, yeah, I mean, just an amazing guy, and Indianapolis is lucky to have him.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, that's my word that I've got to stop using. You know, I was told that I use, and I go back and I listen to these shows. So I listen to all of the shows at some point or another during the week. And, you know, I was told by my producer and other people, you use the word absolutely a lot. Well, you know, it's a word I'm passionate about. You know,
I was going to say, man, everybody's got their niche, Tom. Don't listen to them. Just use absolutely, because that gives us something to make fun of you about. See,
hey man, I've got a whole toolbox of stuff you can make fun of me with. We're gonna go ahead and take our we're gonna go ahead and take a break. If we get back, we're gonna talk a little bit more IndyCar as well, and then we're gonna be having a brand new segment here at 10 o'clock called Meet Your Makers. We'll be right back right here on the Balanced Radio Network. It's poll day, guys. We're going to see who sits on the poll on the 2013 running of the Indianapolis 500.
Faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life?
I wish I was fast.
What's happening to me?
Slow down for a second!
Are you kidding?
I'm never going slow again!
This must be my lucky day!
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. Snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous.
A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine?
All of these people, they believe in me.
Those guys are crazy!
Those guys are awesome!
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa. If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
See, you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
bar. Girls be looking like Danny Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new freak. Yeah, this is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout. Yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
All right, my minions, welcome back to Pole Day, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Bringing us out of the break is Cliff's theme song. I'm sexy. What do you think, Cliff? What do you think?
Wow, that's all I can
that's
say.
That's your new theme song, my man. That's your new theme song. I got to ask you, though. You know, we got – here's what we got coming on some of the paint schemes. We got Superman for J.R. Hillebrand. We got the Turbo. And I think we got Spider-Man on – well, maybe I got it backwards. But anyway, I think we have Spider-Man, Superman, and Turbo. So are you going to go see Turbo? You got to go see Turbo, man.
I will probably wait till it comes out on video.
I'm going to Netflix it, man. I don't think anything comes out on video anymore, Cliff. Your gray beard's starting to show, you know. VHS is what are those things? No, I'm just kidding with you. I got to see that movie. I've got a 2-year-old granddaughter. Maybe that's what I'll do is I'll take her to go see it. You know, I got to have a reason to go see it. Actually, I don't. I'm going to go see it anyway. I really want to see it. So Superman, I believe, is on JR, and Turbo is on Townsend Bell. I guess GoDaddy stays in place. For some reason, I had thought that Hinch was having something as well. Now, going back to point here, our poll day at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we were talking about Buddy Lazier, getting back to what we were talking about, and I apologize, Cliff, I interrupted you there, but we had to maintain that 10-minute window. But going back to that, you were talking about the refresher course. Michelle gave us some good information. Refresher course, to pass it, is the final two phases of the rookie orientation program. So you look at the final two phases of that. So program 15 laps at 205 to 209 miles per hour, and then 15 laps at 210 miles per hour. So that's you were asking about the refresher course, and that's how that is.
Right.
It certainly doesn't seem like it's anything hard to do, especially when you look at a guy like Buddy Lazier. Although they weren't going that fast when he was.
Yeah. But is there a time frame that they can do it in? No, that was my question. It's not so much, you know, I figured it was something pretty simple, but I didn't know, you know, if there's a cutoff date for that to happen, I guess is what I was wondering. So.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Wow.
I'm sorry. You know, I get these new sound things, and I thought that was the perfect tone. You know, anything I can do to help you sound any better at all.
Oh yeah, that made me feel like an idiot, actually.
I'm just kidding with you, brother.
I know.
Do you need a hug? Do you need a hug this morning?
No hug, right. Man.
Are you sure? I mean, we're giving out free hugs here at the Balance. All right, it's Pool Day out the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We digress. So joining me is Mr. Cliff Tanner, Radio Speed Talk. Obviously, for those of you that may not know, have lived under a rock, they're with us every Saturday morning. And we've been doing this thing called IndianMay.com all month long, and we're certainly one of our proud sponsors of Indian May, as well as IndyProSports.com and U.S. Water Sports. I got water sports in my mind. U.S. Water Systems. Got sports in my mind. Got water. You know, U.S. Water Systems. Hey, you know, that's they're engaged in water sports too, I'm sure. So
that's right.
U.S. Water Systems, and we appreciate all of our sponsors helped us get to get all the track reports here on the Balance Radio Network, Indiana Talks, WXRB, and other affiliate radio stations that we've been able to bring to you every day. So we're proud to do that. So we get back on track with poll day, and we look at our poll day qualification order. And have you had a chance to pull up that order there, Cliff?
No, I have not pulled up the order.
I just so happen to have it right here with me. So, let's talk a little bit more about that car that hasn't showed up yet. You heard Kurt say, we're going to try to qualify 34 cars. I was never good at math, but I only count 33 cars out there. So that tells me there's a snake eye in the group somewhere, if you will. Who is that other car? Now we figure out who's going to put the car in the field. Now who's going to drive it? Let's talk about that.
You know, I don't know, man. You know, that's maybe Sarah Fisher.
Hey, she's going to get in the car and drive. Sarah, we're breaking it here on the balance. Sarah's getting back in the race car.
No. Don't hold me to that, man. That's not fair. I don't know who they're going to put in the car. There probably is some rumors going around down there, and why they're waiting till the last minute to do that, I don't know. Maybe it's a hell of a ringer. Who knows?
Good point. Well, you look at names that have kind of floated around. Brian Clausen, I like. Any other names? We talk about Buddy Rice and maybe some others. Really, it's got to be Ed Carpenter. If you narrow it down in process of elimination, 33 possessions in that have been entered, Ed Carpenter is still the only one that is on the entry list. Ed's car has got to be the 34th car. Who's going to drive it? Ed can't drive two cars. So who's going to be driving that 34th car? Maybe they're waiting to finalize some contract negotiations. So maybe it's not Brian Clausen. Because to me, a deal with Sarah Fisher and Ed Carpenter and Brian Clausen would be pretty easy to solidify. So maybe it's not Brian Clausen. Maybe it's somebody like Buddy Rice.
Well, you know, one thing you're not looking at, just a possibility, as you were saying that, it just dawned on me. Maybe it's not so much, you know, that he can't find a driver or hasn't signed a driver, but maybe he doesn't have a sponsor that would, you know, pay for the car to be in there. I mean, you know, there's always that option because, as we know, racing has become business, and if you don't have enough money to field another car, maybe that's part of the deal too. Maybe they, you know, just finalizing a deal on that. But you're right. I mean, you should know by now whether you're going to have a driver for that car or not. And like I said, don't be surprised if it's not somebody from way in the past that's coming out of nowhere and is going to be like a shock value or a ringer, so to speak. I don't know, man. It just seems kind of odd to me. But, you know, maybe it is a sponsorship issue.
Well, hey, if it is a sponsorship issue, hey, we Ed Carpenter, local boy. Hey, we're Indiana here. We're local boys ourselves. I say we make radio history right now. We call Ed up. We say, Ed, here we go. Cliff and I are going half seats. What do we owe you? What do you think? Dead silence there. You know, in sales, they say the first one to speak is the winner there. So, you know, half seas it is. And we'll even put up a little hospitality tent out there in turn 3-4 for him.
Yeah, that'll work, except you're probably talking about $100,000 just to put the car in there for the race. So.
You know, in all reality, and we may have talked about this last week, but I was actually looking at the breakdown, and it may have even been one of Kurt's articles, but it was an article that I was reading that broke down the. If you want to go on the cheap, and you want to say, okay, you know, we just want to get a car in there, you know, we don't want to, you know, we'll just give T-shirts to our race crew and they don't get to eat, you know, and all this other stuff. We just better not wreck and better not run out of fuel, anything's like that. We were going to go on one set of tires. Really, I'm joking about that, but really, if you want to go on the cheap, the bare minimum bones is $700,000, and that's just for the Indy 500. And if – really, in all reality, to break it down, to get a car in, to get it qualified, tires, fuel, the things you have to do for sponsors, and all the stuff that you have to do to make an appearance at the Indianapolis 500 and still go on the cheap, on the low end of the budget, is $1 million a car. So that's a lot of money to commit to.
Yeah, that's a – wow. But you know what? It's the Indy 500, and if somebody was going to get any kind of – play or press or sponsorship shows, Indianapolis 500 would be the place to go. That the Daytona 500 for NASCAR. So yeah, I could see somebody pulling out that kind of money. But, you know, it's so tough in the sponsorship world anymore. It's just hard to tell. But, you know, if you can get four or five, you know, sponsors to put up a couple hundred thousand apiece, and you'd be set and ready to go. But it's amazing what it costs for one race. $1 million, man. That's just crazy.
Unbelievable. And so we joke about halfsies, but so that's why they have several sponsors on one car. So
well, yeah, of course. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But, man, I mean, if that's the Indianapolis 500, what's it cost for a season? I mean, you're talking millions and millions of dollars, especially for a title sponsor. I mean, God knows you're probably in, you know, close to three digits just to sponsor a car for the year.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, sir. And when we get back, we've been teasing this a couple times today. We got a brand new segment, Kenny. And Kenny, I thought I'd make it through the whole show, Cliff, without doing this. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. Cliff, you're going to be able to hang out with us for a while, aren't you?
I can hang out for a little bit longer, yes.
Okay. Because we're gonna be right back. We're going to take a little bit of a pit stop from racing for a moment, and we're going to get back with our brand-new segment called Meet Your Makers. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, radiospeedtalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at radiospeedtalk.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianMay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pit, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update. Brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianMay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Step on again. Wow. was a young boy.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marcos, El Presidente, my minions. I tell you what, we had an intro, and we'll find it. We'll try to just back play that here in just a moment. We've got a brand new segment that we're starting to hear, and I apologize. We have this really cool intro going, and we'll try to get that playing here in just a moment. We've got a brand new segment. As you guys know, our social media director and producer, Michelle Jones, her brother is going on an endeavor and a journey, and her brother Brad is joining us. He's going to talk with us here in just a moment about this new segment. It's called Meet Your Makers. Really, it's a journey, if you will, that takes them across the United States in a van. So joining us, Brad Jones. Brad, welcome to The Balance for the very first time. We got to give you your rookie orientation, though.
All right, what's going on, Tom?
Hey, man, ready to rock and roll. So your rookie orientation is, we're joining us also as Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. So talk with us a little bit about your past, your history with the Indianapolis 500, because you live in Boston now, but you grew up here in Indianapolis.
All right, Tom. So this is Brad and Chris here, my colleagues joining us on the line.
Okay, great.
So I just said, yeah. I am from Indianapolis originally, grew up around racing, absolutely love it and absolutely miss it. May in Indiana is a tough thing to miss from way out here in the New England, but sound of those race cars going around the track. Can almost hear it from here. yeah.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I just I'm gonna miss seeing my boy Tony Kanaan finally take home the race this year.
Well, that will be fantastic if Tony Kanaan makes his first appearance. And we have an intro for you. We're gonna be doing this every week, every Saturday. Brad's going to be joining us in the Meet the Makers segment. Brad, you and your colleagues are going on a journey, and when I say Brad, these questions could be for either one of you that want to answer the question. We'll start with you, Brad. Talk with us a little bit about your journey that you guys are about to endeavor upon and what it is and what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate the that intro, Tom, the little bit that we had. I think I heard Homer Simpson on there, and I think that's the perfect way to kind of segment into what we're going to be discussing about artisanal donuts, I guess, more than anything else. No, but so Chris and I are going on 15,000 miles, 3.5 month summer road trip in the back of a big blue 19-foot passenger van with the back seats taken out. We actually just got done doing some measurements in the back of the van here to figure out what size carpet to lay down. Thinking about getting a small couch, maybe a little TV for our comb on wheels. But yeah, the idea is to essentially spotlight artisanal food production across America. Brewing, baking, winemaking, really anything and everything, you name it, we're probably going to be there spending time with these artisanal food producers, hanging out with them, eating some awesome foods, sharing some awesome stories. That's pretty much the gist of this awesome artisanal food road trip we're about to take part in.
Well, speaking of awesome, this was supposed to play at the very beginning, but you know I'm the host. We'll backtrack. We'll play the open, and we'll just pretend like this is just like we're just going right to you.
All right.
Okay, it's time to slow down here on The Balance and meet your makers. Tom talks with Brad and Chris from Tecure, a food anthology. You can visit them on the web at tecurefood.com to find out more about them and this worthy cause. Now here's your host, Tom Marquis.
All right. Welcome back to The Balance. We're joined by Brad and Chris in our new segment, Meet the Makers. Also, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk is joining us. It's pole day out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But this really, we're having a lot of fun with it, but this really is for a good cause. It's really to help out Brad and Chris with their thesis as they travel across the United States. Brad or Chris, talk with us a little bit exactly what is Tecure about. What is it about?
Hi, Tom. This is Chris. The Cure's about getting behind the scenes and meeting people. To kind of talk with the people behind the brewing industry, the winemaking industry, the bakers and farmers, to learn their lives and to connect them not only with other people that share their passions, but also with the people like us who consume their passions. It's kind of getting behind the scenes in the pit, if you will, and giving us all a little bit of the kind of TLC, that Turn to Love and Care, that they give to other products every day, and that ties everyone together. I mean, we all eat food, we all enjoy food, we all need food, and these people are getting back to their roots and in a lot of ways producing the things that we need to keep going, keep staying fueled.
Well, joining us also is Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. Cliff, we don't want to exclude you from the conversation. Do you have any initial questions for Meet Your Makers?
Yeah, do we get any samples?
I love it. Yes, samples for the show. Send it via FedEx as you make it.
Absolutely, Tom. Absolutely. We'll be coming through Indianapolis, the home neck of the woods, in mid-June. And we'll be bringing plenty of samples, definitely for our favorite talk show host and his colleagues.
Absolutely. You know, all I can tell you is here in the Balance Studio as well, you brought me when you were here in Indy last, you visited Michelle, you brought me a good brew. So you know what brew that is. Bring that back with you. Now, you guys go to school there in Boston. I know that you guys were kind of our personal eyewitnesses to the Boston bombing. Now, where do you guys go to school, and have you guys seen a change in atmosphere there in Boston in the post-bombing days in your school life? And where do you go at?
Certainly. I think one of the places that you see it most actually is in the sports communities. I mean, throughout the sports world, you see this kind of Boston Strong attitude, and it's really brought a lot of people together, not just the Boston teams here, but also some other sports teams from around the country kind of giving us a little bit of a nod. And Boston's a unique town. I mean, you've got a lot of transplants, a lot of people coming from different areas, but the events that occurred really showed that the city is one entity and one family.
And that's true. That's definitely true, and I agree with Chris in many ways. But as an Indianapolis native, it's really hard to get behind that us mentality, especially when it comes to Boston. But it was really great to see Boston rally behind the sports teams, the marathon runners. I think it's really great I think it was going to happen anywhere. It was good that it was in a sporting event where people were coming together to kind of to compete and to show off their athletic prowess and to really, come together in a community way to celebrate Boston. And I think we've shown over the last month and a half or month or so since that's happened that Boston truly is strong, and it's really not a good idea to kind of fuck with us.
Where's my delay switch?
Pardon my language.
We're talking to two college kids just traveling across the nation. Well, one good thing about internet radio and different things that we do online is that we don't have those same regulations, but some of our other affiliate stations do, so I hope they use the drop button on that. we'll have Michelle get with you on that on the backside. All right, guys, so what school do you go to again?
We're students at Boston University, Tom.
Boston University. All right, now here's the deal. Here's what you guys are. We've talked about what you guys are doing. You guys are actually traveling. You're leaving Boston. When do you leave?
Tomorrow morning at 9.
9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Yeah, heaven forbid you get up early, right? to start your journey. Let me ask you this, guys. In all seriousness, this is going to be taking your entire summer break. You guys are really putting your own dime, you're raising money as you go along, and kind of going on a faith walk, if you will. But how long is it? How many miles are you covering? Where are you going? What's your first stop? Kind of consolidate that stuff with us.
Yeah. So we'll be traveling 15,000 miles round trip and over about 105 days. our first stops, I mean, about the first week or so as it is now, and that's we're going to Grassroots Farm in New Braintree, Massachusetts, to work with Tom and Kristen there. They're grass-fed beef, pork, and chicken producers. And then from there, we're heading to Charlestown, Rhode Island, where we're working with Walrus and Carpenter Oysters. I'll actually be oystermen for a day, working with Jules out there. From there, we're going to be hopping the ferry out of New London, Connecticut, and jumping ship to Long Island, New York. We're working with Catapano Dairy. It's a goat dairy and a goat soap producer. And then to Shanaskate Winery, which is a winery and micro distillery. And then from there, we're heading into the city for a few days. And in New York City, we'll be with Mass Brothers Chocolates and Spicy and Sweet, Sweet and Spicy, a sauce producer. And then we've got a couple others lined up in New York that we're kind of trying to tie loose ends with. And then from there, we'll be heading down the coast through Philly, D.C., eventually down into Charlestown, or Charleston, South Carolina. And, yeah, that's the first leg of the trip.
Well, we'll be going to be following you every week. Every Saturday, you're going to be calling in. You're going to be talking about your week's journey this past week and where you're at. So next Saturday, when you call in the show, where do you plan to be at if everything stays on schedule?
Next Saturday, if everything stays on schedule, we will be that will be the 25th, and we will be probably in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Fantastic. Well, real quickly, we've only got just a couple more minutes with you. We got to get back to some race talk. You've got an interactive map, and people can donate to your cause and help you get across country to accomplish really a pretty good cause and your thesis. So it sounds like it's a fun road trip, two college kids taking across the nation. But you guys really are doing some good stuff, and we want to give you the props on that. So talk with us about your interactive map. Where can people find you? Most importantly, where can people send you money?
Perhaps most importantly for us, Donald, is getting the word out about these producers. But we definitely do appreciate the help along the way. Our interactive map is on our website, which is www.tocurefood.com. You can basically follow us. You'll see the points that we've hit, as well as our current location and the points that we are about to hit. You can click on those points. It'll bring up any posts that we've written about the producers. It'll bring up video or pictures as well. And then you can actually donate to us on our Indiegogo campaign, which will be live until June 7th. That is at igg.me/@2carefood. It's also on our homepage, so you can find it there. And we have some really awesome things for people who pledge some money. We'll be returning some artisanal foodstuffs, as well as we'll be giving out some artisanal swag, so food, as well as T-shirts, hats from the producers that we visit. So lots of brewery items, cheese-making items, I'm sure. There's also the opportunity to get together with a bunch of your friends and buy a big kind of beer and cheese pairing dinner. Let me pass through your neck of the woods.
Sounds good. We look forward to you guys being here in Indianapolis as well. Cliff, real quickly, any more final questions for Meet Your Makers?
Well, as I'm sitting to you and listening where you're going, and you mentioned chocolate, have you guys thought about how many pounds you're going to allow yourselves to gain, and do you have a workout regimen for this and keep it
balanced out? P90X on the road!
I do have my resistance bands with me, so that'll help.
You know, that's a serious concern. It's a serious concern.
Brad and Chris, taking a trip across the nation. And we're going to have Meet the Makers every Saturday, guys. Thanks for joining us. You guys rock. Real quickly, who's going to win the Indianapolis 500? TK, was it one of your picks? Do we have another pick, or are you guys both agreeing on TK?
TK all the way, baby.
TK all the way. All right, Brad and Chris from Meet Your Makers.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. You guys have a good trip. Brad and Chris from Meet Your Makers, and they're going to be here in Indianapolis in June, and we're certainly looking forward to having them here on the show live in the studios. It's going to be a great trip. But we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to have Rich Nye of WTHR. We're back on the track. Our pit stop is over. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
He is Twitterless Tom Wolf.
He
is Toyota Kenny Barr.
And that is Snapless Cliff Tanner.
Together, we're the team of Speed Talk.
And although our limited social skills may be lacking,
our racing knowledge and opinions are not.
If you want to know about local and national racing, go check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
While you're at it, catch us on The Balance and other local affiliates.
Speed Talk, where most shows don't even dare to tread.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, welcome back to The Balance on Saturday morning. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. It is really good to have you along. And joining us also, Mr. Cliff Tanner. We're standing by for Rich Nye from WTHR Sports. Going to break down today's poll day. We're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is poll day. Cliff, I tell you what, you listen to these young college kids, and yeah, they're taking a road trip across country, but, you know, it's not like the 60s, the hippie movement, but I had to, you know, I just felt like that was a good background music, you know? You can just picture them along the road. But so really, it is for a good cause. Obviously, part of what they're doing is their thesis, and really, to study the social aspects of how dependent we've become on other people to make our food for us when we can actually make a lot of it ourselves. What was your impression of our new segment called Meet the Makers?
Well, I got to tell you, man, I got to give kudos to the kids. You know, that takes a lot of cojones to venture out in life like that. I don't think I would ever at that age, number one, been smart enough to come up with something like that. But number two, taking that big of a chance, man, you know, depending on funds and things like that. But, you know, it's a great project, and I'm kind of interested to see how it goes, and I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, you're going to have that opportunity because we're going to have them every Saturday, and they're going to be coming through Indianapolis here. We're going to have them live here in the studio, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, no drinking on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning, but we do have some samples coming our way. We've got on our social media outlets how you guys can donate to Meet Your Makers. Yeah, go on there and donate, you know, $5, $10, $15, $20. Nothing to break the bank or take food out of your own pocket, but certainly if you have an extra $10 or $15, just go on there and make a donation, and I'm sure they greatly appreciate it. And sign up with their interactive map. You can follow them along their journey. Obviously, they'll be on every Saturday, but you can set up a lot of different things that are on there. We're standing by for Rich Nye of WTHR Sports. We're back to poll day talk. It's poll day at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to see how fast these cars can go. Now, Cliff, we look at the speeds and some of the things we've talked about. Really, the pole position doesn't necessarily – well, maybe well, obviously it's the fastest of the day. But really, to get the pole, you don't have to push your car to its utter limits to say, okay, 230 is going to be the pole. I don't think that's going to be our pole speed today, Cliff. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but what are your thoughts? I think our pole speeds will sit somewhere around the 226 to 227 mark.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I mean, I just read a friend of mine Twitter that Will Power and hit 229 miles an hour. You're going to see that practice, but you know, people have got to realize they got to be smart coming out of turns so you don't lose it and wreck. I think you're right. I think honestly, we'll be lucky to see anything past 226 and a half. I think might be the closest you're going to come, but you know, you never know. A lot of it's going to depend. There was a little bit of light rain going on. Just a little bit over there at the track, they were saying, and they've got it all dried up, and they had 8 minutes to practice. So I think the poll's going to be taken kind of early this year, especially with the track just coming down and obviously a lot cooler conditions. So I think maybe the mid-226 is what you're going to see.
Well, I could agree with you more. Rich and I at WTHR Sports supposed to join us here at 10:15. I know Michelle's trying to get him on with us as well. So let's talk a little bit about some of the past polls and look at the speeds where things have gone from the days of such as Pernelli Jones. And did you know this? And you know, I heard this little statistic this week. Did you know that Pernelli Jones also used to run the night before the 500, as ran out at Anderson and the Indianapolis 500 and stock car? Did you know all of that?
Well, did you also Pernelli know Jones raced anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, did you also know that he raced up there at one of your favorite tracks, Winchester?
No, I guess I did not know that. That's a piece of information I didn't know. But I do know he ran other races, but I didn't know it was, you know, right before the 500.
Yeah, he did, and they were talking about how he would do that the night before and then come out and race in the 500. But we look at the speed. I guess that's my point. The cars are going a lot faster now than what they used to, and really with the new DW12, they're going a lot faster than before. But let me ask you this: in the quest for speed, I think we've maybe pushed away a lot of fans because of a lot of different restrictions, a lot of things, the old IndyCar fans, if you will, of the A.J. Foyt days and the Rick Mears days and those days, the Ray Hall days, we've kind of got a different feel, a different look. It's gotten to the point in a lot of ways that the Indianapolis 500 is just another race on the circuit, and it's far from that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to tell you my real thoughts on that whole situation. The problem is IMS. It's not the Indy 500. It's not IZOD. I don't think it's more IMS. The number one, you know, you and I know as we grew up, Indy was an entire month. You know, it wasn't just a week or two or anything like that. But the biggest thing that really hurt the Indy 500 was when they had to split back with CART and all that. That did kind of hurt them. And they need, you know, they've been getting better and better. And last year with NBC taking over the coverage, they gained more fans. But IMS, I think, has to realize that, you know, number one, the economy's different. They're going to have to do things to bring, you know, fans back to the track. And the racing is still good. As a matter of fact, I mean, we saw one of the greatest races last year, especially at the end. Unfortunately, again, it ended under yellow. But when Sato tried to take Franchitti there in turn one, you know, the biggest problem, I think, is the promotion of the race. And I don't think speed has anything to do with it because people love speed. You and I both know that. So the problem is Inter and IMS. They're the ones that need to, I think, change things a little bit inside their own PP, so to speak.
Well, and I think they've done that. I don't know if it's IMS or IndyCar, but I know IndyCar has made some changes, obviously, to take place. Ed Carpenter's I got a brain fart for just a minute, but Ed Carpenter's president is actually going to be moving over to IndyCar, and certainly one of the challenges he's faced with is to get a new look and face of IndyCar and to really improve the fan experience with IndyCar. Well, it's poll day. Here it is at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Poll day, May 18th. That's today. So we look at the order, and we'll just kind of go through some of this real quickly. I guess if you look at the qualifying position, you got that car that we were just talking about that's to be announced. We know it's going to be an Ed Carpenter car, so we just don't know who's going to be driving it. Scott Dixon, is I guess you could say up on there first. The number 9 car, best speed so far in practice has been 226.162. And really, I'm just going to kind of go through the list here. We don't have time to go through the entire list, but I'm just going to kind of go through this. If you can kind of give me your thoughts and where they're going to be at as far as qualification, maybe lap 1, 2, 3, 4, or what maybe their average speed might be. Just any kind of input that you might want to put about that particular driver. So we look at Scott Dixon. Go ahead, Cliff.
Scott Dixon, always a force to be reckoned with in IRL, period. Again, you know, I think the Chevys are going to be, you know, dominant in the top 10. I could see Scott Dixon maybe breaking that top 10, but I'm guessing he's going to be in the 11 to 15 range.
All right, we go on down to the next coming out on the track, Tomoko Soto, A.J. Foyt's car. Obviously, we know a lot about Soto, doing a great job this year in the Foyt car. I would not rule him out to be on the pole, not at all.
Oh, most definitely. He's definitely one of the outside favorites of it. And even if he's not, he'll be in the end of the race. He'll be there. No, I have no doubt about that.
Graham Rahal takes the track next. Obviously, no stranger to racing. Bred to race, great part of racing. Graham Rahal, obviously, racing for his dad. If you got to race for somebody and you got to race and your dad's got to be a Rahal, he might as well be the next generation of Rahals to get out there and do something good. And Graham Rahal really is good. His best speed in practice so far was yesterday at 226.152. So, Graham Rahal, thoughts?
Well, he's another one. I mean, he should be in the top 10, and I think he's an outside shot at the pole. I mean, we got a lot of outside shots, but I see him in the top 10.
So we move on down. We got Tomoko's got another car there. Some of these people have two cars in there, so I'm just going to pass over all that because those are some technical answers. But rookie to IndyCar, one of our favorite guys of conversations here on The Balance, you know where I'm going with this, Mr. A.J. Allmendinger, best speed, 227.199. Again, yesterday, had a great speed out there on Fast Friday. A.J. Allmendinger, rookie in the IndyCar. I don't know that we'll see him on the pole, but certainly he's. I think he's impressed a lot of people, and I think he's got a lot of naysayers saying, "Well, maybe I was wrong about A.J. Allmendinger."
Well, again, you know, keep in mind, he's just coming back into the fold of this type of racing, and he's been on a road course, and he's had some difficulties there with timing and things like that. No, I don't think he's going to take the pole either. He's definitely going to be a top 20. He could be an outside for the top 10.
All right. I think we're joined by Rich Nye of WTHR. Rich, are you with us?
I sure am. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. You had me sweating bullets there for a minute. I was sending messages to our producer, and I'm just giving you a hard time, man. I know you're busy, and you're a man of high demand, and we really appreciate you taking some time to join us. Rich Nye of WTHR Sports, obviously out there in the thick of things with him and his partner over there at WTHR, Dave Calabrol. So we look at Fast Friday. Had kind of a rain out at the end there, and we had Kurt Cavan on a little bit earlier talking about some of the things. We look at going into Pulte, and we're also joined by Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. Cliff and I were just bantering back and forth about some of the things that we've seen in the qualifying order, and we just got done talking about A.J. Allmendinger. I think he's took a lot of naysayers and said, hey, well, maybe we were wrong about A.J. Allmendinger, and a lot of people don't want to get past that whole Penske shouldn't have given him a second chance opportunity. So when you look at today's field and you look at qualifying, what are some of the things you see, Rich?
Well, first of all, I'm sitting in my car and I'm seeing it pour down rain in turn one at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I'm starting to wonder when pole day will happen and how it will happen. Because as we know, we have this thing called Fast 9 that's supposed to be a part of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway pole day. But when you have a rainy day like this and the schedule is condensed and we get a dry track for only a few hours or late in the day, that could go all out the window. We may just have a more traditional run for the pole with each guy getting one shot at it. So it'll be very interesting to see how this develops today, because under a normal schedule, at 11 a.m. this morning, basically just be going out there and trying to make a good run, but maybe not your best run, in hopes of getting in that top nine, and then really fighting it out between 4:30 and 6 late this afternoon. But I'm not sure that weather is going to allow that. It looks like it's going to be one of those days where it's cloudy and very damp all day, and I'm not sure we're going to have a real sunny window today where there's going to be extended dry time on the track. So the way it's raining right now, as I sit in my car, we're not going to be out on the track, even if it quit in the next half hour. We're not going to be out on the track until at least 1, 2 o'clock. So right now, I think we're looking at a condensed pole day. Now, to get to the actual strategy and who's going to run for the pole, you obviously have to consider any of the five Andretti Autosport drivers as the favorites for the pole. That team has been quick all week. They've normally been quickest all week. One of them has been at the top of the speed chart. And I'm not sure I would name a favorite among those, although if you put me up to it, I would probably say Marco Andretti has been the most consistently fast driver this week at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And if you were going to name a favorite, I would have to name him as the favorite for the pole. And I think the only team that will challenge Andretti Autosport for the actual pole is Penske. And you have to always consider Elio Castroneves because he's a great Indianapolis qualifier. Willpower, I think, is an outstanding driver, but I don't think he's a guy that you consider as a hot foot for the pole at Indianapolis. And A.J. Allmendinger, I think, has shown some good speed, and he could be, you know, sort of a wild card today.
Cliff, do you have any questions for Rich Nye of WTHR Sports?
Well, the way you described that, and that's going to pretty much what's the disadvantage of somebody's mindset when you have to do a limited qualifying at that point?
Well, I think at this point, as you sit in your garage today and look at the weather, as a team, you're probably starting to think more about, okay, if we get a shot today, it's probably going to be a once-through-the-qualifying-line opportunity, and we have to be ready when our name comes up on the list, and we've got to be ready to give our best shot at the pole run then and put our best four laps together. There's been limited practice this morning. I don't know. They may decide that they need to give them a little bit more practice before we actually go qualifying even with a green track after this rain. There may be some practice even on the schedule before we go to qualifying. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide to format this afternoon based on if they think they're going to get a dry track and how much dry track time they'll get. But I think each team has to be thinking we're only going to get one run today, and the Fast Nine could be out the window.
Well, the Fast Nine absolutely could be out the window, Rich. We're talking with Rich Nye of WTHR Sports. We understand Andretti. They're set, okay? If they don't get out there and do any more practice, they're set. But we look at teams like DCR with Pippa Mann and some of the other drivers that might need a little bit more practice. The rookies have done very well. Very good showing of the rookies this year. Obviously, Carlos Munoz doing a great showing. So maybe the rookies are set. But this rain and the lack of practice really hurts the teams who have been struggling. But then that brings us to the question. Right now, we only see 33 cars. Ed Carpenter, you would say, would be the 34th car, but who's going to be that driver? Are we going to have a blast from the past? Is it going to be somebody like Brian Clausen? Well, those things all come into thought right now. If you could address those, Rich.
Well, I think the rain plays a factor in that as well, and that those teams that have an extra car out there, and to my knowledge, the only one that's really available is Sam Schmidt's third car. I think Ed Carpenter's made it pretty clear that he was not going to run that other car unless someone came to him with a good amount of money, and that hasn't happened. He doesn't have the staff. But I say the rain could be a factor because let's say we don't qualify 22 today because of the rain. Let's say we don't have any qualifications today because of the rain. Then that means everybody has to qualify tomorrow. Tomorrow looks like a good day weather-wise. So you'll have plenty of time to fill the field. I mean, even if, no one qualifies today, it'll only take about 2.5 hours to qualify 33 cars if you just do it constantly. So they could get that done tomorrow easily. The weather looks fine tomorrow. But teams that have not qualified their main programs, like a Sam Schmidt, don't have time to hassle or think about putting the third car in the show, and they've got to be very careful. If one of their driver goes out and wrecks a car, they suddenly need that third car today, and they need it right now. So I think opportunities for any last-minute rides could also be limited if qualifying is limited today. If Sam Schmidt gets both his drivers in today and they're confident with their speeds, then Sam might say, okay, let's put somebody in this third car tomorrow. But if they don't have anybody qualified today and those guys have to qualify tomorrow, I think that even limits more the possibility of a 34th driver here in Indianapolis this May.
So, in effect, if we don't have 34 drivers, we don't have a bump day.
That's correct. I think right now you're probably looking at no bump day tomorrow. I have not heard of any legitimate rides developing this weekend. Now, there's always surprises, or there can be surprises, but probably your last program out there is Buddy Lazier. You know, it's a family program. I bet they have less than 50 laps on the track this week. They didn't get out there even until Thursday. He took a refresher course yesterday. And those guys have spent money, and those guys have, you know, put their own investment into trying to make the Indianapolis 500. And there's probably a thought out there among IndyCar officials, IMS officials, that do we really want to bump Buddy Lazier out of the race? So I'm not sure even how much energy, if you will be out there to find a 34th driver because the people who came here and wanted to get in the race this year have been listed, they've been known, and there hasn't been a strong enough program out there. It's one thing just to find one more driver, but if you had two or three more, then you're talking a bump day. Right now, even if you found one more car, you're talking about, what, two drivers trying to bump themselves back and forth in and out of the race? I don't know that we're going to have a bump day tomorrow.
We're joined by Rich Nye of WTHR Sports. I know you're in your car. You probably don't have access to a radar, but here in our studios, we're looking at the radio. There's a lot of rain headed toward the speedway, at least what it looks like from my view. So we'll see how that pans out. Cliff Tanner, Radio Speed Talk. Go ahead. Got any questions for Rich?
Yeah, who do you think is most important to get a good showing on full day? Or who do you think needs it the most?
I would actually say Ganassi. I feel like the Ganassi team has been a disappointment for most of this season. They haven't shown well in the first three road course races, at least not Ganassi strength well. And I think that in a Honda, they seem to be a little bit underpowered compared to the Chevys. And I think Ganassi is the team that I would like to see show me something today, show that they can be a contender in terms of speed, and show me that they can be a contender here this month. I don't think they've shown that with the typical strength that they normally have.
Well, Rich, we look at the two. We were talking about this earlier on the show. There's really kind of a competition within a competition. You got the drivers obviously competing for a pole position and competing for qualification. But you also look at the manufacturers, and you look at Honda, and you look at Chevy. Chevy's had an incredible showing this year, but Honda has played better for the slower speeds and weather conditions. So this really, if weather conditions are like this, this plays better for Honda than it does for Chevy, correct?
I'm not sure. I'd like to see how those speeds play out today under what is going to be a humid but cooler day. I don't think the sun's going to, you know, bear down today. I would like to see how that plays out. I'm not quite sure. I just have looked at the speed charts most of the week, and obviously when you've got five Andretti cars running Chevy, that kind of, you know, skews the results. But
true.
Chevy's been awful strong.
Well, and then maybe this is a moot question now, but it's certainly a question that's been on the forefront all week long, and we thought we were going to see it yesterday, and Kurt alluded that maybe we would see it this morning. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But 230, how awesome would that be to see a car hit 230? Granted, yeah, we went through the big explanation with Kurt about the toe and the not the toe, so maybe that isn't a legitimate speed. But whether it's a toe, whether it's a not, when I look at the speed chart and I see 230 miles an hour, I got to say, wow, that's pretty fast.
Well, I think it just brings some excitement back to maybe the casual race fan. It also brings headlines. Obviously, racing is about speed. And for the past decade, there has been a movement among the IndyCar series that we needed to control the speed a little bit, and we didn't want to just keep going up incrementally with the speed. You know, when you got to Ari's 236, 237 back in the mid-90s, and then they went to the new car, they decided they were going to bring those speeds down, and they did that with the size of the engine that they had for the series. By taking the turbocharger away for a while and had normally aspirated engines. So there were technical decisions made about how fast the cars were going to go. And now they've opened it back up a little bit. And obviously we know the big speed jump came yesterday because they they turned up the turbo boost. They gave the engines about 40 more horsepower. And we saw the speeds jump about 4 or 5 miles an hour. And I think we would have seen a 230 with a toe yesterday afternoon if the rain had not come. And I think that's still possible this weekend. But I think a pole qualifying speed, when you're out there all by yourself with no help, you're probably looking at a four-lap average of around 228, I think, would probably be the pole for this year.
Well, you're certainly giving us more credit than what we were. We were saying 226.5 to 227. Cliff Tanner, Radio Speak Talk. Go ahead. Any questions for Rich?
No, man. I'm all questioned out right now, bud.
All questioned out. Well, we know Rich is taking time out of his schedule to join us today. Obviously, cars are just standing by waiting for this whole rain issue to resolve itself. But the real fans will be out there, rain or shine. The Mummies will be out there this evening. So, you know, they've got a huge fan base. But we talk about the fans, and real quickly here, we'll let you go, Rich. Cliff and I were just talking just a little bit ago earlier in the show here about the fan base for IndyCar, and they still never have really ever recovered from the split. Obviously, they're making some personnel changes and hoping that does it. It's easy to be an IndyCar fan here in Indianapolis, but when you look at the big spectrum of things and you look at their schedules, a lot of people just haven't latched on to IndyCar. NASCAR certainly having the lion's share of the fan base inside the stateside, excluding Formula One. So you look at IndyCar has got to do something to get their fans back. What do they got to do?
Well, the racing couldn't be any better. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the on-track product. So then you have to look at, okay, your schedule. Are we racing in the right places, and are we racing at the right times? Those are difficult questions. You want to be a success on television, but you also have to be a success selling tickets. There are so many factors involved in this. Then the next question is, who are your drivers? You can have a great race between two mice, but if nobody knows who the mice are and nobody wants to watch, it doesn't matter how great the race is. I think the IndyCar series has very few stars that connect with the American race, the American sports fan. You've got a guy like Helio Castroneves from Brazil who, because of his personality, because of what he's done outside the race car, Dancing with the Stars, is one of the few people that someone could name that doesn't know anything else about IndyCar racing. Those are the kind of personalities that you've got to build. You've got names like Andretti and Ray Hall in the series, but they haven't yet won on any kind of consistent basis to help your fan base, I don't believe. So if a Marco Andretti could win the Indy 500, I think that'd be a huge boost. If a Graham Rahal could win the Indy 500, huge boost. Those are the kind of things that I think would really help the series. I thought so much, you know, I'm an oval racing fan, but the fact is that IndyCar raced at Chicago. They raced at Kentucky. They raced at Michigan. And people...
We've lost Rich there. Somehow his phone just went dead on us. So I hope everything's okay with Rich, and we appreciate him joining us. So we just got just a few minutes left here. We were hoping to be joined by Jim Johnson and to jump over to the NBA conversation, talk a little bit about the Pacers. But we'll continue on talking IndyCar for now. Clip, as you listen to Rich talk about today's poll and the condensed poll, we didn't really have time to get into that. But when you look at a condensed poll day, and really basically everything is shortened, so that hurts a lot of people, helps some people. But when you look at the condensed poll day, how do we go about establishing who's going to sit in the poll? Or does that actually get moved back to tomorrow? We don't know, but let's just say we're able to get a poll in today. How does that what does that condensed day look like?
Well, I mean, obviously, what he said was right. You get one shot, and that's all you're going to get on a day like this. Quite honestly, if I was a racer, and I know this is my opinion, but if I was a racer, I would almost wish that today got wiped out just so you could have a fresh track tomorrow. And get out there and qualify tomorrow. But, you know, it's all going to come to several things. The car's got to be set up right. Mindset is going to be huge. So I think what you're going to see, if we end up with a shortened post-race, is pretty much the guys with less experience are going to be qualifying way down the line. It's going to take a veteran that knows what he's doing, knows when he's got to have a shot. The nerves got to be steel, and that's the guy I think is going to take the pole if they end up with a shortened series or a shortened pull.
Absolutely. Well, see, there's my word. I'm not supposed to use it anymore, Cliff.
It's all good, man. Don't worry about it.
We haven't had time to take many callers. 917-889-8516 is our digits. If we could fit, actually, not even talking about racing, not even the same race, Jim Johnson, freelance sports writer, obviously writes with the Associated Press and various other different outlets. We wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA thing. We pushed him back a little bit because of our conversations and stuff. We ran over on some other things. So if he happens to call in, we'll jump into that conversation. But Cliff, we're just going to kind of I think we have now have lost Cliff. Not sure what's going on here. Maybe it's the weather moving here in Indianapolis. We do have him back now. Cliff, are you back with us?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We got cut off there.
It might just be the weather inside of here in Indianapolis. But I'll tell you what, Cliff. We are joined now by Jim Johnson, as I was saying, not the race car driver, but the freelance sports writer who's joining us. We're going to be talking some Pacers in. So we're kind of overlapping our poll day conversation. So we've got Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk and Jim Johnson, who also is out there covering the race as well as poll day. But we wanted to kind of get into this conversation with NBA. But Cliff, do you want to hang out or do you got to go? Or?
Well, I can hang out.
Okay. Jim, welcome back to The Balance, sir. It's been a while since you've been on here with us, but we appreciate you taking some time to come on with us today. Our primary topic with you today, certainly can throw in some racing conversation with you, but the Pacers. And a lot of people looking at how the Pacers played in against the Knicks the other night. Granted, we're coming back here. We should be able to finish it out. But what happened to the Pacers? Do we have anything to worry about? I guess that's the best way to word the first question.
Well, certainly the Knicks look like they're starting to get on a little bit of a roll. Of course, the Pacers got that curveball kind of thrown at them with George Hill there at the last minute. But if they can make the right adjustments and come back and defend their home court like they've been able to do, and, of course, the Knicks hadn't won in Bankers Life Field House all season, so they certainly can get it done for sure.
So what are some of the biggest struggles that the Pacers are going to have in order to get it done? Obviously, we saw this last season, but, however, it carried over to the Heat, and I think a lot of people believe that it's still going to be the Pacers and the Heat, but we're in a situation to where that comfort zone is no longer there. Have they been able to finish things out the other night against the Knicks? So what are some of the struggles that the Pacers are facing? And walk us through some of that. I know they're dealing with some injury issues and stuff. So the Pacers have to do something a little bit different. They have to maybe adjust their strategy and their game position for them to pull off a win against the Knicks.
Well, that I think a lot of people have talked a lot about how it's uncharted waters for this Indiana team, and you know, this is certainly something new, trying to close out, you know, the semifinals and move on to the conference finals, and of course Augustine's start the other night in New York, that was his first career start in the playoffs, so that's kind of new for him as well, and running the point in that respect. But you know, the challenges, they still are having problems with turning the ball over and just being able to, of course, they did close it out in Atlanta, but, you know, just being able to find a way to just kind of put it away now. And the last time New York came back from being down 3-2 in a series was back in 1999, I believe, the 1999-2000 series, and they came back against Miami before they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Pacers. So it's been kind of uncharted waters for them as well, and so it'll be a fun game tonight for sure.
Well, I guess in a lot of ways it's some good nostalgic things when you think back about the days of Reggie Miller and the Knicks and so forth. Joined also with us is Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, Jim Johnson, a freelance sports writer, really kind of writes for a lot of different papers about a lot of different things. So it's Pole Day out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're going to be headed out there right after the show here. But we just talked to Rich Nye. We got some weather issues. We may have a condensed pole thing. You've been out there and you've been looking at some of the speeds that are going on. From your point of view, what are some of the things you look at? You're looking at in this pole day, Honda, Chevy. Obviously, I don't think we're gonna see a speed of 230. We'd hope that we would. Rain issue, condensed pole day. What are some of the things that you're looking at when you're out there at the speedway today?
Well, you're certainly looking at the Andretti team for sure. They're obviously the clear favorite. They've been, you know, controlling things the entire week, but also who else might be able to sneak in there and you know, grab that top spot. But also the weather, you're looking at the weather. They took a brief break earlier this morning just from a little bit of moisture, and I think it's raining out there right now, or it was. So we'll see what happens there with the rain.
Cliff, as far as racing, do you have any questions for Jim on anything at all?
Well, you know, I want to ask you, who do you think, driver-wise, it's most important to have a good showing in qualifying?
Well, I think Briscoe has a lot to prove. Ryan Briscoe, if he wants to, you know, be able to land more races with Chip Ganassi later this season, and you know, a full-time ride. I know he mentioned in a story that I wrote earlier this week that he wants this to turn into something more with Chip and Ganassi Racing, and you know, there's a lot to prove there. Whether it's today, I don't think I got the sense that they're not as focused today as they're more focused on a week from tomorrow. So, but I think he's got an awful lot to prove for sure.
We're talking with Jim Johnson. Now, Jim, we look at these speeds, and really it's we might see it tomorrow. I don't know that we'll actually see 230. Even if it's in a tow, it's been over a decade since we saw 230. Do you feel good, whether it's today or tomorrow, this weekend, somebody's going to lap a 230?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's hard to tell. You know, and obviously it does depend on that tow and the weather and that type of thing.
So if you were to pick a dark horse, and let's just call it a dark horse, but if you were to pick somebody that really nobody's thinking about, maybe a Joseph Newgarden, and I'm just using that for conversation purposes, who would you pick to be on the pole, and what has to happen for that to take place?
I think that's hard to tell as well. There's so many good drivers and there's so many factors that just play into it. And an interesting comment from Chip Ganassi earlier this week, he mentioned how much luck plays into it and how much luck is becoming more of a factor in the sport of racing. So, you know, luck can change things in an instant, really.
Well, we're joined by Jim Johnson and Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. It's pole day. It's rain day right now. So practice has come to a halt. And we had a bit of a monsoon yesterday on Fast Friday. So maybe it's going to be one of those years. We look back and we say, oh, man, rain, rain, rain. But it's the month of May. So we're going to there are pros out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I assure you guys, just bring your rain gear, bring your coolers, and come on out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We just got a couple minutes left. We'll let both of you guys get one last word in. We'll start with you, Cliff. Anything you want to say, I'll give you about a minute. Go ahead, sir.
Give me about a minute. Wow, man, that's pressure, dude.
I only got 2 minutes, so I got to split it up evenly.
Nah, that's all good. I'm kind of interested to see what happens today with the short thing again. I think you're going to see a veteran is going to come up at the top of the polls if they even get a ran today. Like I said before, I think if I was me and I was racing in that, I would almost rather it got all rained out today so you can start fresh tomorrow, get all that rubber off the track, get out there and get a little more rubber on the track. I'm excited to see what's going to happen today. That's the bottom line.
Jim, any final words for us? And by the way, when you finish off there, just let us know where people can find your work and your masterpieces at, sir.
My masterpieces of what? I think I mentioned that before. But I'm keeping my eye. Yeah, of course, it's poll day, but I'm still keeping my eye on the Pacers and the Knicks. It's, like I said, uncharted waters for the Pacers, and it's exciting for the Pacers fans around here, and we'll see what happens with them. They certainly have a good shot, and they're playing well. Of course, they've been up and down this year, and it's the playoffs now. It's different, so we'll see what happens. But you can follow me on Twitter, Jim Johnson, WIRE, and I typically tweet out my stories from there.
Absolutely. Well, all right, guys, we appreciate you joining us. That's going to do it for us. Get out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Have a good time. Just remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool, guys. We'll see you on Thursday for the Hot Corner. Also, don't forget to listen to our encore show on Indiana Talks from 3 to 5 today. Thanks, guys, and have a great day.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.